Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello. Hello. Here we go, it's the Cop Hype Podcast.
What is happening, everyone? Welcome back to the Cop Hype Podcast. It is Mick and Christian once again, and it's the end of season awards show in a season where it's been a bit of a mad one. So, I mean, some of the categories are quite decent. We can get stuck into them, but I think some of them are pretty straightforward just because there's usually a standout one for some of the categories we've got. But it'll be interesting anyway. It's worth chatting about, even though it was a mad season. There was still some good part of it, albeit we didn't get what we wanted in the end, like in terms of trophies and top four and whatever else. But before we get into it all, Christian, how are you doing, lad?
I'm good. And finally, the season is over. I kind of needed a break. I think we all need a break, and the players and the team. After this season, it's been a roller coaster. You know, started off not in the best way, but we, you know, got a few hopes up, and then we were really bad, and then we come back, and it's just been one of them where, you know, things haven't worked out for us in the way we wanted. Hopefully, we can build on what we've done on the last part of the season going into the next one. So, nice little break. Will be interesting to see what we do in the summer, but will be fun to give these kind of awards and, you know, chat Liverpool for I wouldn't say the last time of, you know, the season, because we're probably going to come back with a few episodes about other things during the summer, but a last chat of, you know, the team and this season in one way.
Yeah, because we'll get into the award stuff soon, which will be more interesting than Southampton in what a mad game it was. But just some breaking news, I suppose, is we've appointed a new sporting director, and I don't know how to pronounce his second name, but I'm gonna wing it and say Jörg Schmadtke. I'm gonna go with that. But yeah, he's been appointed in the last hour or so that's going to be interesting to see what, like you've just been saying there, in terms of new players in the summer. He kind of aligns with Klopp in terms of trying to get players who haven't quite hit the height yet, but have got loads of quality, and then we can take them into the new level, if you like. So hopefully their minds combined can kind of get us a load of little gems. That's what we want, and kind of make them into what they are in the future. But yeah, let's talk about the fucking craziness that was Southampton, because we were just discussing it there, and I was like, because there's just so much going on with relegation and whatever. And it was kind of, I had one eye on the Everton game and one eye on the Leicester game as well. So it was kind of half watching, but like we go 2-0 up pretty quickly. Jota basically gets the easiest goal he's ever going to get. Like comes out to him like 4 yards out, and he just goes, yep, nice one, thanks. Scores. Firmino gets his final Liverpool goal, which was obviously lovely to see as well, especially after the goal at Anfield, where he kind of signed off his Anfield career. In fact, he got a 111th Liverpool goal and final one, which was, that was a nice moment as well, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was good to see him, you know, play. Good to see him score in his last game for us. And like you said as well, for Jota, he had his struggles with injuries, been out. And when he came back, he looked a bit, you know, rusty. But then he actually started providing goals. And since he came back, he actually had quite good stats, I reckon. So, you know, if he can build on that, it's good for us for next season that we have him back fit and for, you know, playing in those little positions where he always pops up and score goals, which we have said before as well. So really happy for that. And yeah, pleased for Firmino to actually finish it off. And yeah, 111 goals, it's not bad. So yeah, sad moment, you know, now when both him and Milner leaves. But 2-0 up, I thought, you know, this is going to be, you know, a 5-goal win or whatever. But nah, it didn't happen.
Yeah, and just in typical Liverpool fashion, we then go and concede 4. I mean, albeit like over the space of like 19th minute, 28th minute, 47th minute, 64th minute. But then you're like, you're 4-2 down. You're like, this is just Liverpool all over. Obviously, we didn't have Alisson, Kelleher played. That's a massive miss. You didn't have Van Dijk, Konate. So when you're playing Matip and Gomez, it's not quite the same because you're kind of looking at them going, who's the leader there? There's not a leader. I think Konate and Van Dijk are both leaders. I don't think Gomez and Matip are leaders. They're both very good. But like when you've got those two combined with a very good goalkeeper, but one who hasn't played that much, he's obviously going to be a bit rusty. We were bound to concede goals and chances, and that's kind of what happened. But we'll just skate over all them goals. We don't have to talk about them. We can get back to the one where we get 4-3, and it's Gakpo, and we were mentioning about like the build up to that one before we started recording about like it's a lovely little bit of play. Elliot plays the ball over, Trent plays it in, and Gakpo scores in that area where he seems to love being in that back of the post, back post run, like late run on the end of it, and scores. And that kind of capped off like a great first half season for him. Like I posted a tweet on the Coppy podcast, like Twitter. Yesterday, just about his stats, just because I just feel like in terms of 37 million, like I think like we've discussed over the months, like he's been had maybe a bit of a nervy start, but like since he's kind of clicked into gear, we're all now saying how much of a perfect replacement he is for Bobby to get 7 goals and 2 assists in 21 Premier League games. In the position that he is, where he's basically dropping into those Bobby positions in midfield, into the 6 positions and whatever. He's very, very far from the goal sometimes. So to still get 9 goal contributions in 21 games is a nice first half to a Premier League season for him, and something he can build on into next year as well.
Yeah, very much so. I agree. You know, to see him actually pop into those positions as well, just being there and score, it says that he's got this scoring mentality. He knows where he's, you know, where he should be when those little moments come. When we got like players like Trent coming around on the side and actually put perfect passes into the box, he just pops into those positions. It's a little bit like Jota as well. They know where they're gonna be. But I like you said as well, I think, you know, also because he plays deeper sometimes in this Bobby position and actually comes down to, you know, get the ball and drives it up forward. It also says that he's got very, you know, it's very broad in his way of playing football. Like he's got technical abilities. He's very physical, strong. He's quite, you know, quick. He pops into the goal scoring positions and he's a little bit of a playmaker as well. So hopefully he can just build on this, like you said as well, and become our replacement for Bobby, but still with a different kind of style. It's not the Brazilian technical maybe playmaker as Bobby was, and maybe not as good in maybe putting pressure on the opposition when we play. It depends on obviously the style of play and how we put up our tactics and all that. But in terms of just giving all those little attributes to our team and scoring those goals and, you know, contribute with, like you said, what was it, 21 and 9 goal contributions in half a season for his first season in Premier League, is very, very good. So I'm really looking forward to see what he will bring next season when he had his, you know, proper pre-season, fits into the team even more and just continue to grow. So yeah, I think it will be great for us. And that's a bargain in terms of where we got him from and the money and everything that he will probably provide in future.
Yeah, I think he's different to Bobby, isn't he, in terms of like high grade, like that he can definitely improve like his pressing. But I think like Bobby was just a master at that, like just closing down, being in the right space, just kind of getting the studs on the ball or like just flicking it away and creating something off the back of it. And I think we've seen Gakpo do it in some games, but I think that's something he can improve on. But the fact that he's way further along than I thought he'd be in terms of fitting into the system and whatever at this point. So, yeah, made up for him that he's kind of got to that level so quickly.
Yeah, and also that, you know, every one of us and probably all of us thought, you know, he's a more of a winger. Like they bought him, you know, to play on the wing, maybe, you know, to have Darwin coming into the central and then have him maybe to the left because he played like that for PSV and the Dutch national team and all that. But actually just to come into that role central and actually do it that very well so soon and just after half season is very good. So to have a player who can play in different positions but do it really well as well, it gives us options, which is great. And he's still young and all that. So, yeah, I'm really looking forward to see what he can bring in the future for us.
Yeah, and another player that had a bit of a mad season is Jota, who gets the equaliser and makes it 4-4, a goal thriller last game of the season, proper. Just a proper mad, weird level, like testimonial in some parts, but then there was some good play in other parts, and you're just like, this is just, I mean, it's just what happens when you've got nothing to play for the last game of the season, I suppose, that no one's kind of focused or whatever. But Jota gets the goal and posted another tweet about like kind of his performance as well. Like he played 22 Premier League games, so just one more than Gakpo, but he managed 7 goals and 4 assists, so 1 and 2 for his goal contribution, so 11 goal contributions in 22 games. So every other game he's getting a goal contribution. I think that's something that he can build on as well. I think when he came in, he was kind of like a goal machine. He was scoring like at a rate of like, he was like Sturridge and Fowler and Torres levels in terms of how many goals he was getting per game. Obviously then he's had some bad injuries and stuff, and I still always worry he's going to pick up those injuries, and I think he probably will, but I think at this moment in time, especially the end of the season, when he can now kind of have a massive rest and get himself ready for next season, I think he's still a massive part of what we're trying to do. I think like Nunes is kind of on the periphery a little bit now because of the injury and stuff in the latter stages of the season with the toe injury. I think he's still obviously got a massive role to play because of the money we paid and his age and stuff. But I think Jota, it's kind of weird because like when any stage in the season when you say like what's your favorite front three, I think every like other week it's probably changed because I think Jota kind of fallen off a little bit because Nunes was scoring goals, playing well. Now Jota's came back up and Nunes is back below him a little bit. But I feel like that's something that you need to kind of, like we said, to push these players on, because having those quality players, they can drive each other on to be better as well, can't they?
Yeah, and it's a luxury problem. You know, that we always been talking about, you know, having many options and many players in our team and in our squad that can come in and do different things. And if, you know, someone needs a rest, then we can rest them and we can play someone else. But the level of quality doesn't drop. And this is where we are now when it comes to the offensive three. We got so many good options with Jota, Diaz, Darwin, Salah, Gakpo. You know, it's just, you know, so if they can't play obviously all the time, but it's a good way of knowing that they can push each other to become better. But if someone actually drops in form, or if there's a slight injury, hopefully there's no like long-term injuries, but if there's a little knock here and there, we know that, okay, well, let Jota rest and Luis Diaz comes in, or Darwin comes in. It's brilliant, and that's what we need. Obviously next season we're going to play in the Europa League. It might be a little bit more of a rotation in terms of, you know, not playing the Champions League. We'll see. We probably go for it. I don't doubt that, because it's still a European trophy that we don't have, and I'm sure they want to go and get it. But it's more like you still can rest players and make them fresh for a long season when you go for the Premier League as well, which I think that's the aim anyway. We will come back and try to do it better. So I just love that we got so many quality options offensively. It's brilliant. You don't see that so much, and we haven't seen it for, you know, in Liverpool for you go back 10, 15 years, there was always like one striker who was the star, like Torres or Suarez, or even back when Michael Owen, Robbie Fowler, and there was good players around. But at the same time now, when we look at them, you know that everyone can actually come in and be great, and they play in a really good team, and they could even play in any other team in Europe. I don't say they should start in every other good team in Europe, but they will definitely come in and play. So we got great quality, and we should be really happy about that.
Yeah, I think that's something that, like we said, about the new sporting director and whatever, and Klopp, and this summer, like, I think the forward line's very, very good. It's maybe the midfield. It's definitely the midfield where we need to bolster. Hopefully like the likes of McAllister and players like that can come in early doors if we can. or if not, someone else, someone similar, identify someone, a couple of players who are going to come in and kind of replace the Milners and stuff of the world who are going to be departing. So that needs to be sorted ASAP. So hopefully we can do that. But yeah, let's get stuck into the title of the podcast, which is the end of season awards show. So we've got like a little WhatsApp group, which if you do, I've mentioned it before, but if you want to join, you can just let us know. Just give us a message on Twitter or Instagram. You can find us at Copite Podcast. So just search that, drop us a little DM or a message, or just comment on a tweet or a post and just let us know. We can add you. But I kind of put it in there because I thought we'd get loads of responses, and we did. Everyone was boss, like giving us their options. So basically what we're going to go through is player of the season, underperformer of the season, surprise player of the season, standout moment of the season, game of the season, goal of the season, and then a rating out of 10, which as you can imagine might be a little bit lower than 6 or 5. but we'll start with player of the season. I think, like I mentioned, some of them are quite easy. There's a few contenders for this, I suppose, in terms of like, I think the standout and the one that I've gone for, and I imagine you have as well, and I think most people in the WhatsApp group went for Alisson, but I think there's a shout for Salah for getting 30 goals again, consecutive for 3 times. Like in the previous 2 years, for him to get that was like, yeah, he's in a great team, so he's going to score goals. This season, it's even more impressive because of, like we've mentioned, Liverpool not being anywhere near as good, like just kind of coasting through games and whatever, and Salah still managing to get the goals. But yeah, I think Alisson's the rightful winner of this one, isn't he? I think.
Yeah, I've gone with him as well, and it's quite obvious because, you know, with our team, we would have conceded so many more goals. He's been a beast for us, you know, in goal. He comes out, he makes saves, he's great with the ball at his feet. He, you know, sometimes have these little slip-ups where, you know, it gets a little bit nervy, but usually it's just perfectly just pinging the balls, you know, to Salah or whatever. And he's a great line goalie as well, and he's, you know, he's just one of them who you like for his personality and his presence, and then he's also, you know, a world-class goalkeeper, so it's no doubt about him being the best player of the season. Or, you know, it's just great that we have, in my opinion, the best goalkeeper in the world playing for Liverpool.
Yeah, and I think like there's always been like stats, like obviously when I do the stat show with Mike from Opta, like Alisson's always a topic because like the amount of like expected goals that he saves, like he's always way clear of everyone else in terms of like one-on-ones. And because of the way we play, he obviously faces more of them because one ball over the top sometimes is if you work your way around Liverpool's midfield, a ball over the top, you're kind of in most of the time if it's a perfect ball and you've got a speedy striker or winger on the end of it. And most of the time he's an equal match for them, which is something that, like you said, he's the best in the world, but he's also the best in the world in terms of what we need as well. He's perfect for us. So he's been absolutely amazing. Like, I don't think anyone ever wants the goalie to be your best player of the season, because that generally means that you've not done that well and the keeper's had to bail you out. And I think in previous years, I think Alisson's always been a contender for it because like the way we play and stuff, like I mentioned. But I think this season, because we've not kind of hit the heights of what anywhere near what we expected, then Alisson's been the main guy, just kind of keeping us going at the back and keeping us in games, especially like I was just thinking of the United game where they had a few chances, and if one of them goes in, the 7-0 doesn't happen. You know what I mean? It changes the whole course of the game, and it's happened in a few games as well where he's popped up with an amazing save. And what I love about him is he's not flashy. Like it's always like, I'll make an amazing save, but I'll make it look as easy as I can. Pick the ball up and get Liverpool going again. There's none of this messing around like fucking Pickford, like standing up and screaming and pretending like he's the man, like I'm the guy, like I'm in charge and whatever. It's like, it's not about Alisson Becker, it's about the team, and that's what I love about him most. And he's the rightful winner, like we've both agreed on. I think most of the people everyone in the WhatsApp group said Alisson as well. But we go from player of the season to underperformer of the season. For me, this was an easy one, but I'll let you take the floor with who you think first.
I just went with Fabinho because I think, you know, I was just thinking like there's been a few where Van Dijk haven't been, you know, at his best. you know, we know that he got the really, you know, his highs are very high, but he's just never been able to reach them this season. Trent has been really bad in the start of the season. I know we gave him loads of critics because of, you know, criticism because of his sloppiness and looking tired and not bothered and all that. But in terms of what we need in midfield and the player that Fabinho was last season and the seasons before that, and then see him just look like a fucking fridge standing in the middle of, you know, the pitch and the center of the park and nothing happens. No late tackles, like no correct passes, doesn't read the game, get the oppositions get past him all the time very easily. For most of the season, I thought he was really, really bad. He's been good at the or better at the, you know, the last or the end of the season. He kind of got back into better form and playing in a different style that made him better as well, and probably with a bit of self-confidence. But in terms of overall season, I think he was just underperforming a lot. And also, obviously, when you compare to the seasons previously.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Yeah, because I agree, like, completely, because in the group chat, anyway, I've just been having a look. There was a few for Nunes. There was a couple for Trent, because I suppose if you factor in the whole season, it's only been, like, the last couple of months of the season where he's obviously been moved into the new position and done really well. There was a shout for Carvalho, I suppose, because maybe expected him to take it to another level in terms of his potential and whatever, especially after the Newcastle goal where he gets that winner, and you kind of think Liverpool are going to start winning games, and you think Carvalho is going to be maybe a key part of that and whatever else. There was a shout for Robbo as well, which I just think generally this could have been, I mean, I think Fabinho, I think, is the outright winner by a mile just because of the levels and whatever. Just he's been, like you said, absolutely ridiculously bad, but like Van Dijk, Robbo, Trent, quite a lot of the team have been pretty poor this season in terms of what we've normally been producing. So it's more noticeable, like we've said. So,
But I think, I used to say, when it comes to Robertson, I think he wasn't good in the start of the season as the whole defensive line, but I think he always gives you a good game though. He's never really, really, really bad in terms of what you know what you're going to get from him, like pace, work rate, and going up and down that side. And I think he gives you that all the time. Sometimes a little bit, you know, better and sometimes less, but I think he's never really, really bad in comparison to what we expect from Trent or expect from Fabinho. You kind of know that Robertson is another kind of player. So for me, he was never actually considered, because I think, like, yeah, he was bad in the start of the season, but he's been all right all the way through. And that's what he usually is. He still provides, you know, assists and stuff, and he's been great previous season as well. But I think we expect more from, like, Trent as a player and maybe Fabinho as a player in terms of where their roles and where they play. I don't know.
I think most players have been lesser, but I just feel like Fabinho's dip has been just so much more noticeable, hasn't it? Like, in terms of, like, him trying to cover that space in the midfield. It's only since Trent's moved in, and he's kind of his amount of space he's guarded's, like, been halved. So he's obviously better because he's not the quickest, but he's still at least been putting in tackles in recently. So he's been better, but I think everyone's been better recently. But I just think as a whole, I think Fabinho's been. Because I was looking at his stats, like, he's played, like, he's only missed two Premier League games this year, and he's made 49 appearances in all competitions, which is his most ever. He made 48 last season, he made 49 this year. So I think that says a lot as well, that he's been playing basically every game nearly, and he's made his most appearances in a season where really he shouldn't have been, because we should have had the quality to kind of go, right, Fabinho, you've been shite, mate, you're not playing for a month or whatever till you sort your head out and then you can come back in. I think that's why the likes of Bacetic and whatever have played as well quite a lot, because of the likes of Fabinho not kind of being at the level. So I think them two are pretty, for me, player of the season and underperformer of the season. They were pretty easy, I think, for me, in terms of you just think of that pit, like Alisson, yep, straight away. Fabinho, yep, straight away. I think surprise player of the season, which is the next one. I think this one's a bit more, I mean, there's a few shouts. Like in the group chat, there was a shout for Curtis Jones, Gakpo as well, I suppose, in terms of him surprising people, in terms of like maybe a lot similar to everyone else in the last 2 months. He's been, he's elevated his levels to a very good level, but I'll give you minus time. For me, it's Bacetic, but who have you gone for?
Yeah. Same.
We haven't talked about this before, by the way. This is no. We kept it a secret, but I imagine we probably picked all the same players.
Yeah, but it just, for me, it's quite the easy one because no one expected him to come in when we were really, really bad and, you know, had a few injuries and all that with Thiago out. And he comes in and just fucking becomes massive for us in midfield and, you know, showing the way, showing how it should be played, showing Henderson, Fabinho, everyone else that's been, you know, obviously stars for us for, you know, many seasons now, playing at a higher level, won it all, that if you're going to be shit like this, I'm going to come in and show you. And it's also like a young kid that we know, okay, he's talented. You know, Liverpool brought him in because he's talented. We know that he got praised because he's a good footballer, but no one could ever expect that, you know, an 18-year-old kid comes in midfield for a Premier League team at the Liverpool's level and just boss it, like, you know, comes in and be great. And obviously it's a fortunate that he, you know, gets injured because he probably would have played more, but it's just great to know that we got this little baller, you know, in Liverpool when playing for us in the future. So for me, it's just like a big surprise, but I'm really happy that he got the chance because now we know what player we can have in, you know, in our team for many, many seasons to come. So looking forward to him coming back, getting fit and playing next season.
Yeah, I think for me, the biggest compliment you can pay him, and we've said this before, like, is that he came in and done well in a side that's been pretty horrific. Like, he unfortunately missed out on the games where Liverpool were actually playing well, and I would have loved to have seen maybe Trent alongside the Bacetic in like that midfield too, and seeing what Bacetic can do in a team that's full of energy and full of confidence and grown in confidence. And it's a shame that he didn't get a chance to be a part of that, but like you said, it's going to be, I think next year, like the likes of Bacetic, the likes of Gakpo, the likes of hopefully Nunes can kind of reach another level along with the players that come in. But yeah, I mean, in terms of it being quite obvious, I think I still think it's quite obvious to pick Bacetic, but I do think that like Curtis Jones outside shout, because I think he'd been written off by a lot of people, and he's then went on and played like so many games. I think it was 11 games in a row, I think, which is I think it was the most a local lad's done that since like Gerrard was playing in the team. So it's not done very, very often for a local midfielder to come in and kind of play that many games in a row. So that was nice to see. And Gakpo as well, like an outside shout. But yeah, I think Bacetic is the rightful winner of that one. We move on to standout moment of the season, which I think is, I don't know if it's, one always sticks out for me. I think in the group, kind of people were saying the same thing as well, which was Bobby's last goal at Anfield, which was, I think it was, we touched on one of the shows previously, like about how emotional it was and being in the ground and it kind of lump in the throat or tears in their eyes in your case when watching it. but I think that's the main one, isn't it? Just because it was kind of emotional to say bye to Bobby, and he came on and got the equaliser and stuff.
Yeah, I was thinking quite hard on this one because obviously a standout moment can mean so much. It could be, you know, a late winner. It could be, you know, loads of goals in a game. It could be, you know, a great goal as well. But I agree. I also choose, you know, more of the last game at Anfield because of saying goodbye to Bobby and Milner, you know, two legends in Liverpool, won it all, done a great job for us and been, you know, they will be remembered forever. So I think, you know, that feeling, like you said as well, the emotional part of it, you know, saying goodbye to two players that meant so much for us in terms of winning and, you know, the experiences that we had with them in the team. Always reliable, always a smile from Bobby and Milner always doing the job. I think that was the moment where you actually felt like you're never going to see them in the red shirt again, which it's, you know, it's the same when obviously Gerrard is at another level, but, you know, when he did his last game for us, and other players have done that in the past that you remember. But, you know, these two also stands out in terms of, you can compare to, you know, Suarez and Torres as well. But these two obviously, you know, won the lot with us and have had another impact. So for me, it was a moment where you actually felt like, would you really, really going to miss them for what they've done for the club?
Yeah, definitely. And I think it's something that we'll always like look back on in years, and like that was the moment where we can kind of pinpoint where hopefully we've moved on to another phase of Liverpool. But that was where that phase of Klopp's team kind of came to an end. Obviously, Mane leaving, that was a part of it. But I think Firmino being there for the longest and whatever out of that iconic front three, there's only Salah left now. I think that's kind of like the natural end of that like cycle, if you want to say it like that. But yeah, there was a few other shouts. There was a shout for Jota's goal at Anfield against Spurs, where Richarlison just scores and Jota goes down on the other end and scores. I feel like that was just because of it being perfect, like it being Richarlison, his first Spurs goal. He's made up. He's doing every celebration. I think he's done every celebration he's ever done. So I think he's done about 12 celebrations. Took his top off, done his little chicken dance, shushed the crowd, whatever else. And then we go down the other end literally 10 seconds later and Jota scores and his face is just a picture. Like that was, yeah, I think that's a very, very second close for me just because of the circumstances, the team, who it was at Anfield, and then getting a winner. I think that's another one that we can look back at fondly. I think another one which is hilarious is the like Alisson like falling over, like, and Pickford kept hold of the ball and Alisson does the same. I think that was just another hilarious one in recent years that we've always looked, and I think it's similar, like it's not massive, but it's always something that even in previous years you look back on and it's still funny to look back on, even if it's not a goal or whatever. It's always something funny that you can look back on and laugh at. And I think that's something similar. When you're taking the piss out of like a player that or a team that you don't like. I think that's always something funny. Yeah. So we've covered that one. So let's go on to game of the season. So I mean, there's a few shouts to this one, but I think again, it's fairly obvious, isn't it?
Yeah, it's for me, it's not a difficult one, even if there's been a few really, really good games from us and, you know, games that stood out and in terms of goals as well. But, you know, it's only one and that will be talked about in generations to come anyway. And it's 7-0, obviously, against Man United. Because it was someone mentioned or said something about, you know, Man United might have, you know, finished higher above us in the league, qualified for Champions League. But, you know, in years to come, no one will remember that they did that. But everyone will remember that Liverpool beat them 7-0. So it's one of them where, you know, it's in the history books. We will always, you know, give them the 7-up thing before we're going to play them now and stuff like that, which is also hilarious in you know, its own way. So for me, it's just to see us play, you know, Man United at home in a season where we haven't been that good, but just fucking batter them. It's brilliant. It's, you know, I will probably just during summer, just, you know, lay down on the sofa and just rewatch it again with a pint in hand, just be laughing, you know, and you'd be like, yeah, come on, you know, look forward to next season. So that was mine. I guess you have the same. Otherwise, I will be surprised.
Yeah, well, I mean, that show we did after that game was one of the funniest and one of the, I don't know, it was just hilarious as we kept like every like 60 seconds, we were like, oh yeah, 7-0, just like kept saying it. Just because you've got to take your victories in a season where Liverpool aren't good. You've just got to. Like, if we would have like been smashing teams and whatever and got into the top four or potentially been challenging for the title, and it still would have been good, but it wouldn't have been as significant. But in a season where going into the game as well, especially like Ferdinand and like Neville and Keane, like all had like really high opinions about like, oh, this is the most confident I've ever been, we're gonna absolutely batter them. And then like Souness was like, yeah, I feel the same, I think we're gonna absolutely tear you apart. And then they're like laughing in the corner, and then the game goes, and then the studio
Carragher and Neville with his little selfies with him.
Yeah, exactly. And then the studio, like, where like there's Carragher and Souness on one side and Keane and Neville on the other, and like like Carragher and Souness are literally like school kids, like schoolboys, just absolutely pissing themselves laughing because they're just so fuming and like trying to just play it off that it was a fluke and whatever. But we turned up perfectly on that day and just absolutely battered them. But like we said before, like Alisson, like it could have been different if we didn't have the big beautiful bastard in goal. So it's another shout out for Alisson Becker, but that's easily the winner of that one. I think in the group chat there was a few other Aiden actually went for Spurs 4-3, which I think feeds into the one we said for standout moment with like Richarlison and whatever. And I think that's definitely up there. But I think if you beat Man United 7-0 in the season, that has to be the game of the season.
If we had Bournemouth 9-0 and Rangers 7-0, and they are great games. You know, it's great to do that, but to actually, like you said, opposition. Man United, exactly. Then you know that they're always going to be a rivalry in terms of history and titles. And when you play them, they're always like one of the biggest games ever on the planet every season. So, you know, it's to beat them 7-0 is just amazing. And I can't remember what it was now, but when we look back on the previous like games we had against them, what did we say like we had? Like, I can't remember in terms of goal difference against them. It was loads. Like we won 4-0, 7-0, like three, you know, all them. So we actually, exactly. So, you know, we actually have been beating them really, really, you know, hard for the last couple of games that we played them, and they haven't even stand a chance. And they finished above us now, but we'll be back next season to fucking show them who's boss. So
I can't wait. They're obviously milking it loads as well because we didn't get in the top four and whatever. And like Bruno Fernandes, as soon as like they secured the Champions League, he's mentioning Liverpool. So it's like he's just a knobhead, isn't he? But we'll be ready next year to get back up there and hopefully not just challenging for top four, challenging for actual silverware, not just like coming in fourth and like getting your manager to do like a speech and whatever and being like, yes, we did it, lads, let's go, Champions League. Like, that they're not the levels that Man United or Liverpool should be aspiring to. You need to do that when you're winning titles, mate, and then you won't get ridiculed. That's the way you'll need to look at it. Another obvious winner was that. So we'll go with that one, shall we? That was the easy option. So we've got two more. We've got goal of the season, and then we've got overall season rating out of 10. So goal of the season, there was a few shouts in the group chat. So there was Diaz against Palace, where early on in the season, where he kind of jinks in from the left hand side, takes on about four people and just belts it bottom corner. Absolute amazing goal. There was a shout for Gakpo's chip against United, which was class, absolutely world class. The ball in by Salah and he just dinks it over him and over De Gea and says, in a bit, mate. There was a shout for Nunez's back heel against Madrid, which is a great shout, actually.
Yeah, Fulham as well, to be honest. One of his first, or his first. That was brilliant as well.
I feel like that was a bit. Not as clean though as the Madrid one. It was more like a.
It just looks boss because it looked good.
But I feel like it flicked off. I don't know. It didn't really look as nice as the, because I don't know if it like hit the defender a little bit as well. I think, but the Madrid one was like a clean flick of the back heel and it went in. So there's a shout for that. There was obviously a shout for Trent's free kick against Leicester. Trent's free kick against Leicester probably nicks it for me, but I wanted to put into the mix the Jones one against Leicester where he takes a touch and then volleys it, which was, I mean, in terms of like difficulty of doing that and obviously being in great form and stuff and him elevating himself into great form, I think that needs a shout as well. But for me, I think just Trent, like that game as well, he was just absolutely bossing it, and he just, to put it in, the top corner like he did was just, I think that deserves the win, doesn't it?
Yeah, I actually went with another one, but it's also Trent. It's goal against Bournemouth, to be honest. I just love how he, obviously he was not in the best place, like the whole team was not in the best place at that moment of the season. We're still early, but you know, we won 9-0 and you know, there were balls just flying in from all angles for us. But when he comes up and drives it up, I actually watched it back before and I was like, because I would have choose between the free kick, like you mentioned, that you choose, but I took this because I just liked the way he drove it up and that in the net. So I choose between them two because I thought that maybe you will actually choose the free kick. So I was like, I go with the other one, but it's two great, two great Trent goals, which we hopefully will see even more next season if he continues to obviously play in, if he comes up and play in midfield, or if we'll have this role like he has now and continue to actually provide so many, you know, balls and assists in that position, that when he actually can come into positions to finish them off himself with that right foot, you know, I think there will be a few nice goals from him, no doubt.
Oh, cool. So we've actually made a different decision there, because I just thought you'd go Trent's free kick as well. But fair enough.
Yeah, but
there was a few. I was tempted to go for the Diaz one, to be fair, but just for what it was and like to get the equaliser and stuff. But yeah, I just think quality-wise, yeah, I think Trent's, and I mean, any of Trent's goals are generally just like class because of the way he strikes the ball is just so nice as well. So yeah, some good options there. And yeah, that brings us on to overall season rating. Yeah, what are you thinking? I'll read some out just for, because this is probably easiest to read out from the group chat. So let's have a quick look. So we've got Aiden went for 4 out of 10. We've got Paul said 4. Fawzi said 5. Got Glenn saying 4. Got Matt saying 4.5, Rasmus 4, yeah, Paul 5, Yuki 4, yeah, everyone's Chippy 6, D 5, Doug 3. So between 3 and 5 there, but what are you thinking?
Yeah, exactly between 3 and 5 for me. So 4.
4, yeah.
I based that on, you know, this season looked when we've done half the season, like before the World Cup, it looked like it was going to go all right and stuff, but we haven't been that good. And then we came back and was really bad. And then we turned it again. So I was like, it's just been one of them where, you know, we had those moments, like we said, with Man United, Bournemouth, Rangers, you know, the Spurs game and the chase for Champions League now in the end, you know, putting in performances and putting in a good form. But it doesn't, you know, we still didn't really challenge for anything. We didn't win anything. It was quite a lame season in many ways. So it doesn't reach half, you know, from like 5 to 10 above for me. It just, you know, below 5 and it's a 4. I think it could have been a 3 if it wasn't for the last couple of games now where we showed what we are actually, what we're on about and what we can do. It would have been more if we actually got the Champions League spot. It would probably have been a 5 or a 6, to be honest. But because we didn't do that, I just go with 4 because, you know, in one way, like I said in the start and the beginning of this show, I'm just happy now it's over. So,
yeah, I mean, we've basically picked all the same apart from goal this season, because I've went for 4 as well, just because I nearly done 5. I was just like, I'm being too nice. I was like, yeah, I am being too nice. 4, like when you consider last season, what this season should have been, like we should have been challenging for title. We should have been getting to Champions League finals like we have been. To drop so much and be passengers for so many games, getting beat by teams that just outplayed, outworked, like out muscled, like every fucking hell, loads of games where you look back and like, this is just and like all the players putting stuff on Instagram like saying it's a season to forget, and it is, because it's one of them where, I mean, if Liverpool were in last 20 years, like that type of form where you have one good season, you might have a poor one and you go back up again, like Liverpool generally do, you kind of accept it more. But because Liverpool have been steadily amazing, like always up there, always challenging, to kind of drop so significantly and drop out the Champions League as well. I think if we were the nick Champions League, it would have been maybe a 5 or a 6, just because we've salvaged it basically, like we did when we got third a couple of years ago. But because we didn't, I'm going to have to play Thursday nights and it's going to be going to all mad countries and whatever. And we're going to need a big squad for next year to kind of, to help us in those moments. But if we would have got this Champions League, it would have been pushed up. But I think 4 is fair. I think Doug going 3, I get it, like, because... And I mean, I think you could go, I think 3 could even be a realistic shout, just because of, if you contextualise it, like from the previous year, it's just, it's so bad, isn't it? And it's that you've got to kind of just, you've got to accept it, but you've got to then be like, well, we need to be better. And I think that's something that, in a way, it hopefully it's like a weird silver lining that we've been that bad that it needs to now change in terms of obviously getting a new sporting director and getting new players in very, very shortly and getting them in and getting ready for to be, make sure that the players and the fans are going to have a good year next year. Yeah. Right, we will leave it there. Thanks everyone, as always, for listening. Thanks everyone in the group chat for putting your recommendations in for what you thought was the best of each of those categories. We will be back very shortly with more shows. We've got player profiles coming up. And we've got the likes of Fowler, the likes of Torres. We've got other shows coming up as well to kind of keep us going through the summer, ready for next year. But yeah, thanks as always to you lot for listening. We really do appreciate everyone. Thanks to Christian, as always, for jumping on. And yeah, we'll see you all very soon. Ta-ra.
Social Podcast Network.